Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمد عبده رسوله. The Arab Spring began in January 2011 and now it has reached the anniversary when a young Mohamed Bouazizi in Tunisia set himself alight, an act which became a catalyst for the uprisings across the Muslim world. We have witnessed with our very own eyes on the TV sets, social media, momentous events as the people broke the shackles of fear and stood up in their thousands to remove the Western-backed tyrants such as Ben Ali of Tunisia, Mubarak of Egypt, and Gaddafi of Libya. Ben Ali, Mubarak, and Gaddafi have all been purged and discarded into the dustbins of history. Bashar al-Assad and Abdullah Saleh, the enemies of Allah, are still standing and holding on by the thinnest of ropes, while the tyrants of Saudi Arabia and other oppressive regimes await their turn. Some may say today's events have brought about the real change from the uprisings with the newly elected government, Al-Nahda, in Tunisia, and the majority of the votes of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Tonight, we unravel these events and question what role, if any, do the uprisings have? Do we need to see them to an Islamic end? And what role do we Muslims in the Western lands, what role can we play in the Western lands for these and to support the uprisings? Inshallah, tonight's format will be two speakers. Brother Abu Abdullah will talk about the reflections on the uprisings a year on. We will then have a multimedia session, roughly about 10 minutes, a timeline of events from July until today. Our second speaker, Brother Wasim Durahi, will talk about seeing the uprisings through to an Islamic end. We'll then have a question and answer session, and then we'll pray. Then we'll break for Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah. So our first speaker, Brother Abu Abdullah, will discuss the reflections of the past 12 months to understand the current reality and dissect the recent elections in Tunisia and Egypt, and talk about the current demonstrations in Syria. Brother Abu Abdullah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. The will of the Ummah, of the Muslim Ummah, versus the plots of the West. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم قل إن هدى الله هو الهدى ولئن اتبعت أهواءهم بعد الذي جاءك من العلم ما لك من الله من ولي ولا نصير. Translates to, never will the Jews and the Christians be satisfied with you unless you follow their form of religion, their millah. Say the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the true and only guidance. But if you follow their desires after the knowledge which have reached you, then you would not find neither a protector nor helper from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The plots on, and plans of the West against Islam and against the Muslim Ummah are uncountable and continuous. Since the last two centuries, and as the Muslim Ummah had declined in an intellectually, had declined intellectually, when it separated its way of thinking from its Islamic aqidah, since then until now, the West are plotting and planning against our Ummah. And that is side by side with their attempt to invade the Muslim land and with the attempt to destroy the Khilafah and so forth. I don't want to go through lots of details in that things. They destroyed the Khilafah, the Islamic State, by their agent Mustafa Kemal, abolished the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and replaced it with their kufr rules. They occupied the Muslim land and the Muslim countries and divided them by borders according to what is known by Sykes-Picot treaty, and enforced their rules and values upon the Muslim Ummah. They handed the blessed land of Palestine to the Jews to establish their criminal state on it, torturing, killing, expelling Muslims from their own homeland. And the West are supporting them, fully supporting them. They appointed puppets, agents for them, as rulers and governors on the Muslim Ummah, in the Muslim countries, to maintain the secular kufr and oppressive regimes in various forms, republics, kingdomship, dictatorship, to the end of the list. And to maintain the kufr values, the duty of those rulers of the Muslim world today who are appointed by the kuffar, is that to maintain the kufr values, the kufr culture, separating the deen from life, separating Islam, which came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to organize the whole life. They want the ummah to hold on the concept of separating Islam from life and to keep the kufr concept pumped into the heart and the mind of the ummah. They confiscated the will of the ummah. Even the will of the ummah has been confiscated by the kuffar and their agent. You have no right to think. If you are a Muslim, you have no right to think. You have no right to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think Islamically, you are a terrorist. If you think to liberate the blessed occupied land, you are a terrorist. If you think to work to re-establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life, you are a terrorist because you have no will under their occupation or under their agents who govern the Muslim world today. They wanted to prevent the sincere Muslim movements from returning Islam back to lead the ummah and to govern the Muslim ummah. They wanted to exploit the Muslim and the wealth and resources of the Muslims for the favor of the West, to keep the mass of Muslim ummah, Muslim world, under poverty, and in need for the West, dependent, fully dependent on the West, although our countries have lots of resources and treasures. The Ummah regained her confiscated will and broke the shackles of fear from the cruelty and tyrant rulers who are puppets of the West, under which she lived for decades. The Muslim Ummah have been living for decades under those tyrant rulers, the puppets of the West, the agents of the West. The Ummah was boiling because of the forcible regimes, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described as al-mulk al-jabri, as came in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was boiling to see a solution for this misery situation, was boiling to see that those rulers, those tyrants and their regimes are moved from this Muslim land. And they can see, the Ummah can see clearly by the effort of the da'wah carriers that these regimes and these rulers are the reason of its suffering, of the suffering of the Ummah. Every suffering, poverty, unemployment, backwardness, failure, misery life, they are the reason of all this suffering of the Ummah. And the Ummah needed just an ignition to make her erupt in the face of those tyrant rulers and explode in their faces and change them. And subhanAllah, it happened. The incident of Muhammad al-Mu'azizi in the town of Sidi Bouzaid in Tunisia. That incident made that ignition for the Ummah. After that incident, it was only a matter of breaking that barrier of fear from those tyrants of Tunisia, from the tyrant of Tunisia, Ibn Ali, under whose regime that was controlled by his Democrat Party, put a line under this Democrat Party, a tyrant whose regime is Democrat Party. People used to fear, under the regime of Ben Ali, used to fear to criticize even the price of a chewing gum. You can't criticize anything. Even the price, if you criticize the price of a chewing gum, you are a terrorist. You are in jail. You are imprisoned. And subhanAllah, by the way, this Ben Ali, the Western leaders, they mentioned that he is one of the closest allied to them, one of the closest friend to them. SubhanAllah al-Azim. So this is what happened. Breaking the fear barrier was all it took the people of Tunisia to start regaining the stolen and the confiscated will. And protesting to confront the dictator with his corruptions. And requesting some reformations at the beginning. Job opportunities to ease the difficulty in their life and so forth. But he responded with a severe imprisonment, torturing, killing to the end of the list, to suppress their movement. But subhanAllah al-Azim, the more he tortured and killed, the stronger their will became against him. the more he killed, the stronger they will become against him. Until he realized that no way he can stay, he can handle this. And subhanAllah, he fled the country on the 14th of January last year, in a day like today. He was unable to benefit the protection of over 60,000 intelligence personnel that he prepared to protect him. He left everything behind except what he's stolen from Tunisia. So Tunisia became free from the oppressor, although his regime was still there, as he himself announced from the so-called Saudi Arabia, Saudi Kingdom, who welcomed him after his masters in the West refused to do so. They refused him. But the puppet of Saudi regime accepted him and welcomed him. The people in the Muslim societies, the Muslim Ummah, were following up what's happening in Tunisia. And they too, in their turn, broke the fear barrier from their rulers, who are not any less in cruelty and in oppression and corruption than Ben Ali. And the sufferings of the people are not any less as well. The suffering of the rest of the Ummah is not any less of the suffering than the suffering of the people of Tunisia. So the public uprising started to erupt in Yemen, in Egypt, Libya, Bahrain, in Syria, those countries whose regimes decided to suppress their people severely by killing, by destroying, by crushing the uprising. And also in other countries, in other Muslim countries like Oman, Saudis, Kuwait, Qatar, Jordan, whose regimes decided to do some reforming. And in those wealthy countries, besides some reforming, they started pumping up some money in the pockets of their publics to ease them, you know, to make them calm down, with threats to shut them down if they continue. This is the situation. The situation continued in the Muslim countries, in those Muslim countries, Tunisia, Yemen, Egypt, Bahrain, Libya, Syria. And then the West now. The West, who's been for years plotting and planning against this Ummah and stealing the wealth of the Ummah and confiscating its will. Now the turn came for the West to continue its plots and its planning. And at this time, it manifested in the following. In general, the moment when the uprisings erupted, the Western medias and the Arab medias, which are also belong, some of them belong to the West, like Al Jazeera and Al Arabiya and many others as well, like local media sometimes, radio station or TVs, they started yelling out for democracy. Start straight away to make the people think that there's only one solution, either dictatorship or democracy. Either remain under the atrocity and cruelty of those tyrants, or there's only one solution which you deserve, which few people deserve, which is democracy. Although those severe tyrants like Ben Ali and Mubarak, they were the heads of Democrat parties in their countries. And we started now hearing People of Tunisia deserve democracy. They deserve to participate in the government, in the system, and so forth. And they hide away, they hid away anything else, any sign of Islam. Deliberately, you find in the media is hidden away completely from those uprisings. Although the mass of people in Egypt, in Tunisia, in all the Muslim countries, the mass are Muslims. The mass of them are yelling for Islam. Although they may not call for Khilafah, because they didn't have the opportunity to hear about this system because of the cruelty and atrocity of those regimes for decades that they have lived under. And despite that the Western world adopt democracy and they claim that they adopt democracy, they are the ones, remember that they are the ones who appointed those rulers upon the Muslim world. So that shows how much they lie and how much they are mocker against the Muslims. In Tunisia, I don't want to go long in the details. In Tunisia, they established what's called the transitional government, al-hukuma al-intiqaliya. And subhanAllah, as Ibn Ali claimed or announced from Saudi Arabia, it happened exactly. Al-Baji Qaid al-Sibsi, who was a minister in the government of Ibn Ali, he took over as a reformist. He wanted to reform now the regime. And that shows that they have stolen the Thawra, the uprisings. They claimed in that transitional state or government, they claimed that Islam is the religion of the state. And subhanAllah, they claimed that and they said no political Islamic parties are allowed. Contradiction straight away. To show that what they claim is false, is not true. And they establish a constitutive council. A constitutive council to compose a new constitution for the country. Definitely away from the Sharia, away from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, there are some people among the Muslims who are more than willing to serve the aim of the kuffar in our countries. They came An-Nahda party. An-Nahda, who is labeled by Islam, but we know that its thought are modernized by the Western thought and ideas. And they claim that they straight away when they were nominated for the election, their president straight away said to the media when they asked him, are you with or against the Khilafah? He said, definitely we are against the Khilafah. The head of Al-Nahda party. He said, definitely, qat'an, we are against the Khilafah. So this is the situation in Tunisia. In Egypt, the army council, which is a puppet in the hand of America as well, took over after many attempts to maintain Hosni Mubarak and to give the presidency after him to his son. But in front of the uprisings in the among the Egyptian public, refusing him completely, they could not do anything. So they decided to get rid of him and give the authority temporarily to the army council, and they took over. So the army council was taking the orders from a special office that America made in Egypt, especially for this purpose, to follow up and to direct the uprisings in Egypt. And who is under the army council, as an association, was the Al-Azhar as well. Al-Azhar is in the hand of the army council. To issue any fatwa that they need, that is suitable for them to maintain secularism in the society and to maintain, to keep Egypt under the influence and control of America. And subhanAllah, just today, they announced something today, this morning. The head of Al-Azhar, he said, whatever the Azhar issues for the state are only advices. And the constitution, and the talking about the constitution, is to be composed by the representatives of the Ummah, not by the scholars. Imagine this. The constitution of Egypt, the Muslim country, is to be composed by the representatives of the Ummah. He meant all those various parties and different ideas in Egypt, secular, Akbat, and Muslims, all together they can compose the constitution of Egypt. And who is saying this? The head of Al-Azhar, subhanAllah al-Azim. Muslim movements who accepted to form a non-religious parties when the army council set the elections, they said, okay, they allowed the parties to be formed, but on non-religion basis, non-religious parties. Muslim movements, we've seen Muslim movement now established parties like the Freedom and Justice of Muslim Brotherhood and Hizb al-Nur of the Salafi brothers and so forth. And subhanAllah al-Azim, America, because of its mockery, it prepared something for those new leaders to maintain their, let me say, their faces with the Ummah, to keep their faces clean in front of the Ummah. America prepared something that allowed them to comment against America, to attack America in front of the media, so the public will trust those movements when they come into the authority. But subhanAllah, it was never needed. Yesterday, there was a meeting between the head of the Freedom and Justice Party, whose name is, I forgot his name now, although it's written somewhere here, with William Burns, the deputy of the American General Secretary in Egypt. And he gave him a good message that the Muslim Brotherhood or this party will maintain the relationship with Israel and all the treaties that were done by the previous regime. So do not worry about Israel at all. Similarly, the other party as well commented that, okay, we do not aim to cancel those treaties, but we will reform them when there is a chance to do so. In Yemen, a struggle between England and America on the influence over Yemen. We know that Ali Abdullah Saleh is a pro-England, and America was trying hard to find a puppet to get rid of Saleh, and so the country will be taken over by America. Until now, they failed to do so, and therefore England was given Abdullah Saleh time after time to suppress the uprising, regardless how much he kills of the Yemeni Muslims. In Syria, similarly, Assad, who is pro-America as well, we have seen that European Union are very active against him because they want to return Syria to their influence after it's been taken by his father, towards America. And also America gave him so many chances either by their agents, the Turkish, the Turks, or by the Arab League, who gave him so many opportunities to suppress and to put off the uprising by killing as much as possible of the Syrian people. When they noticed that the Muslim Ummah started now to realize that, let's call for Islam. Before the uprising, we're calling for some reforming, some easing up, you know, the life. Now the Ummah started to respond to Islam. We want freedom, we want justice, and all these things, the Ummah know that these things are existent, they exist in Islam, in the Islamic rules. And later on, the Ummah started to respond to the da'wah of Khilafah as well. Now we want Khilafah. Now the plots and plans of the West came to a different issue now. We don't want a state that is run by one leader. We don't want a state that is run by one leader, like they call it a solitary type of state, of regimes. Because this will generate oppression against the Muslim, against the public and so forth. As if the West cares so much about the Muslim world and the Muslim public. And they accused Islam falsely by oppression. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. The regime of Islam is rahmah for Muslims and for non-Muslims. And they started calling out to follow the type of the Turkish state, which is a civil state. They call it civil state with a religion advisory office. And as we can see, the Turkish leaders, Turkish like Erdogan, he calls for secularism, but his wife wears a hijab. This is all what they allow the Muslims to have from their Islam. And this role model, which is Turkey, that they are marketing in the Muslim world today, is under $267 billion debt under this regime of Erdogan. In the changing era, I don't want to take any longer because I can see the time is finishing. In the changing time and era, we must respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. The ayah said, translates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the circumstance of a people until they themselves change what is within themselves. So this regained will that the ummah regained after this long term of confiscation must be formed and based on the Islamic aqidah. Our will must be based and formed by the Islamic aqidah and by the sharia of Islam. And we must put in our forehead the objectives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to achieve. And that is returning the Muslim land as Dar al-Islam. We are not living in this life to eat and drink and enjoy life away from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are an ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected for a purpose, for a duty, to live in Dar al-Islam, that is the state that implements the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and carries Islam as guidance to the rest of the humanity by da'wah and jihad. This is the purpose of the Muslim ummah. And this purpose is a duty upon every Muslim, whether we live in the West or whether we live in the Muslim land itself. It is a duty upon every Muslim. There is no dalil in the Quran to say that the Muslims who live in other than the Muslim countries are not commanded to work for this duty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Am hasibtum, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. Do you think that you shall enter garden, paradise, garden of bliss without such a trials as it came to those who were before you? They were encountered by suffering and adversity, and they were shaking in spirit in their deen until the messenger and those of faith who were with him cried, when is the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come? Verily, the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. So what is required from the ummah is to respond sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this regained will, with this breakage of the fear from those tyrants. It is a gain for the ummah. We should never fear anymore. We should only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we neglect his obligation upon us. Seeking the victory from him, following the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following and supporting those sincere da'wah carriers who are calling for the Khilafah state, Hizb al-Tahrir, who's been uprising way before the ummah had awakened. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the ummah must respond to this and work sincerely with the da'wah carriers until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us what he promised us in this ayah and in many other ayat in the Quran Kareem. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه فهو الفوز المستقيم.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.